This is a Steam Studio production.
Welcome to the Steam Spotlight, where we celebrate the inspiring achievements of students, educators, and community partners making waves in the Steam field.
For this spotlight, we are delighted to highlight two brilliant scholars, Dr. Beth McGowan and Dr. Melissa Adams Campbell. Dr. McGowan, an associate professor and librarian, is a stalwart in her field with exceptional research credentials. Her work focuses on the history of librarianship, reading, and writing, making her an invaluable voice in literary and archival study. Dr. Adams Campbell, professor in early American literature, is the author of New World Courtships, Transatlantic Alternatives to Companionate Marriage, which explores narratives of marriage through a transnational feminist lens. A celebrated Schreiber scholar, she was honored for her second book project, Native to Literacy History, which explores the vital role of Native women's domestic contribution in early American writing. Together, these distinguished scholars have combined their expertise to establish NIU's Book Lab, a dynamic campus space where students, faculty, and community members can engage with the written word in all its forms.
Welcome to the Steam Studio. We are so excited to have two very special guests in with us today. We have Beth and Melissa from the Book Lab. Hi, Beth and Melissa.
Hello.
Hi, Kristen.
How are you both doing?
Great. We're doing well.
Wonderful. Well, before we start really digging into what is the Book Lab and hearing more about that, could we hear a little bit more about you? Could the two of you introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about your background, and what do you do here at NIU, kind of in the condensed version? Because I know those are always big questions, right?
I'll start. This is Beth. I'm the curator of rare books and special collections at NIU Libraries.
And I'm Melissa Adams Campbell. I'm professor of English at NIU. I teach early American and other literatures.
Great. Now, you two work together in a lot of different ways, right? So before the Book Lab, what did some of that collaboration look like? How'd you two get started working together?
Well, first, Melissa is in the English department, and I'm an English library subject specialist. And so Melissa would bring her classes to the library, and I would show resources. But then, as curator of rare books and special collections, I started a History of the Book seminar series, and Melissa, who was the recipient of a Horatio Alger Society fellowship, was our very first speaker. That seminar has now been going on for 3 years, but Melissa started it off.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the rare books collection and some of the amazing things you have up there on the fourth floor of Founders Library. So what is in the collection from both a book standpoint, but then you've got more than just books, right?
Oh, yes. We have so much more than just books. Well, first of all, we have a rare books and special collection. So rare books is about old stuff, you know, easily, right? Early printed materials, some medieval manuscripts, and materials from the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, first editions, you know, of some things. But the other thing that we have are special collections. And our special collections are principally in what is known as popular culture materials. And those range from one of our really signature collections, which are dime novels, which are sort of very inexpensive, popular material, reading materials, nickeled and dimes. That's really what they cost, that were for sort of the reading public, working class public, that would not be expensive and very available to lots of people. That stuff ranges from age from sort of the mid 19th century to about 1930. Beyond that, we have a huge collection of children's serial literature. We have collections in science fiction. And we have also collections in really very rare materials in gender studies. Really, that's periodical materials from across the country from about 1970. So we have multiple signature collections in sort of popular literature, as well as our rare book collection.
Very cool. Do you have a favorite? And it's like asking you to pick a favorite child, right?
Oh, it's really hard. Do you have a favorite? It's so hard to choose a collection. My collection, my favorite collection of the day, because it's the one I've just done the most research on, is that we have a Jeremy Taylor collection, which is a collection from the period of the English Civil War. Jeremy Taylor was a contemporary and actually somebody who was an adversary, if you will, of John Milton. And so for me, it's a fascinating kind of study and contrast between this theological thinker, Jeremy Taylor, and a theological thinker, John Milton.
How about you, Melissa? Do you have a favorite collection that you like to work with up there?
Well, I'll tell you my favorite book, okay. Which is... We have a first edition. We actually have a first and a second edition of Phyllis Wheatley, who's the first African-American published poet, first to publish a full book of poems. And it's absolutely thrilling to take students up to see Phyllis Wheatley in original form. After we've been spending a few weeks reading her in class. And so everyone just kind of is in awe that we have this book in DeKalb. It's
that
amazing.
Very exciting. So the newest project you all have got brewing up there, tell us about the book lab. And I know you also have a beautiful printing press too. So you want to tell us a little bit about both of those?
Well, I'm just going to start by saying the book lab is all Melissa's fault. She called me up one day and said, can we have one of these? Because she saw that University of Maryland had something called a book lab, and she was interested in that. And that was the beginning of a lot of information about our legacy. So I'm just going to stop a little bit there and let Melissa pick up.
But the reason that I said, could we have one of these book labs is because we have a really incredible replica common press. It's the kind of printing press that Benjamin Franklin would have used. That's a kind of printing press that was used all through the early modern period, really until the Industrial Revolution, to make books. A student at NIU developed the replica press back in the 70s. I'll let Beth speak to that issue. But just to say, so we already had all of these amazing treasures waiting in the library to be put to use by students. And so really the lab is the space where we take them out of the storage, right? And get people to start using those things.
Yes, I would say that in a way, NIU had a book lab before there were book labs. And we didn't sort of know it. First, there was this replica common press, which was begun and initiated. The project of the common press was initiated by somebody who used to be in my position, but 50 years ago. His name was Tony Bliss. And he decided that we should have one of these because he was in conversation with another English professor whose name was William Proctor Williams. And the two of them collaborated all those years ago to have an engineering student build a replica common press. When it was built, There was only one other university in the country that had such a replica common press, and they were building it simultaneously with NIU, and that was University of Virginia. So we're incredibly lucky to have this amazing replica. So first we have those, but it turns out we also had, because of our interest in books and printing, we had two other presses in the library's stacks, sort of in our closed stacks. And so what we did was we just moved those three amazing presses into a new space. And that is the foundation of our book lab, along with some type and other equipment that is there. So we feel incredibly lucky, because it was almost an embarrassment of riches. Once Melissa said, can we have this? I went looking and I was like, we already have all this. So we just needed a space to put them and to actually bring into existence what we already had all the materials for.
That is so exciting. So what now? Like, what now that you have, because you have the space, it's organized, like, what's the next step? What do you hope to do?
Well, we have a new space that just opened this spring. It's on the fourth floor of the NIU Founders Library. We're really excited that we're teaching our first course, Technologies of the Word. It has 16 students, I believe, and it's taught by Dr. Nicole Clifton. It's the first time that we've taught a course like this for undergraduate students. And so students are thinking about how books have been made in historical, technological kind of processes for making books, entrepreneurial sort of sense of how books have been circulated, and the business of printing, the business of being, say, a medieval scribe, right? And how are books made even before printing presses? So a lot of really fun things that students are doing, but they're not just learning about that by reading books. They're learning about that by making their own projects using these technologies. So really for us, the lab is all about hands-on humanities, really thinking through that experiential learning process.
And in that experiential learning process, of course, once you actually start using these materials, there are always new questions that arise, and new issues and questions that one might want to research. So it also offers really new research opportunities. And we couple that, all of those kinds of ideas, with the books that are in our collection. So the students now, when they look at a book, they have a very different perspective on what that book actually is, because they've actually used some of the technologies that were created to create that book.
And I love this, because it gives us a whole different, for some people, it will give them a whole different perspective of what we mean by technologies. You know, a lot of times we think technology is, you know, a phone, a tablet, a robot, but technology is a tool that helps a human solve a problem. And so the technology of books, the technologies behind writing and communication, that's fascinating.
Absolutely. And the printing press really is this innovative machine that helped to transform the speed in which books could circulate. Imagine everything being handwritten before the invention of the printing press, right? And how slow it was to make books. Books were made basically by request and in really small numbers. And so once we have the ability to make, you know, 100, 200, 500 copies of a book in a run, it really changes the access piece of things. But none of that could happen without the, the technology and the imagination about how to use that technology. So absolutely.
And I'd go one step farther with that. It's not just the press. It was also the materials that the press the press printed on. We really didn't have paper before before the printing press. What people used instead was animal skins. And so the cost effectiveness of making a book changed dramatically when you weren't having to kill, you know, herds of animals for a single book.
I'm jumping in here because I've been fascinated by this whole conversation. But I find it always interesting that a technological advancement always comes with others. Like, there's this one thing, like the Gutenberg Press. Like, I know that name and I don't know anything about this stuff, but I can answer that Jeopardy question. But there were other things that came along with that that might not be as highlighted. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Beth?
Yeah. Absolutely. The press was important, but the press came also with something called movable type, which really works better with an alphabet, a phonetic alphabet. And it also really required paper. And paper, we didn't have it before Gutenberg. Right. It was really a relatively new invention, or I should say import of an invention in the West.
I'm fascinated by that. And I also try and put myself in that position, because that means at some point someone was handed a flyer or a pamphlet and it blew their mind. And that happens to me every day. And I'm like, next. Like,
absolutely. And one of the things I think that the codex, the form of the book that we think of most commonly, right, stitched on the left side, one of the things that makes it so popular, you know, in a certain point, scrolls and books, they're kind of occupying the same moment in history. But what makes it so fascinating is that the history of the book is really about being able to put that book in your pocket. It's like about secrets, right? It's much easier to hide a book than it is to carry around a large scroll or a set of scrolls. And early in the book's history, this was the preferred choice, the preferred medium of many Christians who were persecuted, right? And so for their faith. And so it was much easier to pocket and a small book than it was to carry around a large set of scrolls. And so in the end, this is one of the reasons why the book looks the way it does today, right? Because this was such a popular form of technology. Yeah.
That's fascinating. I didn't even think about that, because you see all the ancient scrolls, you think of the ancient libraries and just the convenience and the societal impact of suddenly having a book that is of a certain shape and construction, and what that means for you in terms of how you are showcasing or not showcasing or hiding what mm-hmm. you're reading. Very interesting. I love these topics. Go ahead, Russ. I think you were going to jump in.
Well, I also find it interesting that as writing has continued and technology has been a large impact on writing, now we've almost gone to the other side where I wish some people wouldn't put stuff so publicly in writing. But it's to then go from it being secretive and being a way that you can protect your faith, you can protect your passions, whatever may be, to now being like, no, I want everyone to know absolutely everything. That's just an interesting transition.
Maybe put it on a scroll next time. You don't need to put it out there. Just scroll. Put it on a scroll.
The world could be a better place.
So as you look at kind of the future of the Book Lab, what are some of the ways that you're hoping it'll impact the NIU community, but also the greater community as a whole? What do you think? What are some of your ideas?
Okay, I'll just say what we would love. Part of the reason we want it in the library, and we're happy that it's in the library, is because we want this to be a space where anybody who studies in any discipline can feel welcome and comfortable in this space. And that's a huge that's one of the reasons we're so happy it's in the library, because we really want it to be an interdisciplinary space and maybe even a space where people from different disciplines end up talking about some of the same issues. So that's part of it. We'd also really like it to be at some point, you know, a real resource for the community at large, for the DeKalb, really the university, community, however you want to say it, not just NIU, but people beyond the campus.
I think we hope that over time we're able to build programs that draw in K through 12 users, that bring in book clubs and, you know, people in the community, so we could really see a variety of people being interested in the things that are happening at Book Lab. And the more that we grow our connections in DeKalb and in the region, we hope that we'll be able to invite more people and hold more workshops.
So I know you've been out in some public settings, because I made a poster. I was very excited. So what's been your biggest, like, either aha moment or your favorite moment so far of interacting with people with the Book Lab?
What a great question.
It is a great question. I'll just say what I love about this is the joy that it brings people. Absolutely. It's just amazing. Every single time we do anything in the lab, anything to do with the lab, there's just pleasure that really comes through when people are doing this work. But I'm going to turn it over to Melissa, because she's done more specific things than I have.
Well, I think the most fun experience was actually at STEM Fest, where we had a booth. We were so excited to be able to share some of the technologies with the community. And we had a troop of Girl Scouts come through. And so just like a whole bunch of really excited kids who were eager to try out everything, getting ink all over the little tabletop press that we had for these kinds of occasions. And they had such a great time. And so I do think, again, the joy of seeing people make their prints and thinking about, you know, what's the mechanism that's sort of twisting the top of this? Let's talk about the engineering that enables this press to work, right? And so all of those interactions are really so much fun. And I think kids have this remarkable curiosity. They want to know everything, right? And so they're very excited to try out all the different stations that we had. We had a blast.
I heard it was a great booth. I don't know if you all noticed that as the kids start to ask questions, it opens the parent, like the parents start to feel like they can ask questions too. So you get because of the kids and their curiosity, it kind of rubs off on the parents.
Absolutely.
That's
definitely our experience. And we had parents who were even there with high school and college aged students, and they made prints and, you know, were enjoying the experience as well. So it was something that everyone seemed to gravitate towards.
Yeah, at first you could see the parents. They did. It's exactly what you said, Kristen. They were hanging back a little bit, but then suddenly they were like, well, why shouldn't I make one of these? You know, so that was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we had a great time. We were exhausted by the end, but we had a great time.
I think that needs to be our t-shirts from now on. Like, at STEM Fest, we had a great time. We were exhausted at the end, but we had a great time. So this has been such a delight to hear more about the Book Lab, and you guys can tell that you just are so passionate about this topic and everything. If people want to learn more or want to come visit or get involved, what are some ways that they can connect with you?
I think just reaching out to either of us is a good place to begin. So you can find me and my email address on the NIU webpage, Melissa Adams Campbell, madamscampbell@niu.edu. I'm happy to talk with people about what they might be interested in, if we could set up a tour or you know, host a group. We would be really excited to talk through some of those possibilities. And I'm sure that Beth is equally excited to meet with folks.
I am. And I would say also my email is bmcgowan@niu.edu. But I would also say that there is going to be an open house of our book lab on April 28th. From 3:30 to 6 p.m. That's on a Monday. And anybody who hears this is welcome.
Fantastic. That sounds amazing. Russ, any last questions or thoughts as we kind of wrap up the conversation?
I'm just going to reiterate how awesome this was and super exciting it was. So yes, thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to make sure in the notes for everyone listening that we put the April 28th date for the open house and some general contact for our lovely guests. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. You know, one thing before we go, and maybe this will end up being edited, is that we didn't really talk about the futures of the book. And so I just wanted to mention that one of the things that we're really interested in at Book Lab is thinking not just about the histories of the technologies that are used to make books, but also the ways that books might be made in the future. And so we're really excited to offer some courses that are thinking about AI and writing, thinking about digital publishing and digital publishing tools. And so we want to take that broad span of the history of the book and also look forward to think about how students might engage with these technologies in their future careers.
And I will say one last thing. I would also say that we hope that thinking about the history of the technologies becomes a kind of reflex that you start thinking about technology in general and how it changes and affects us in our lives.
Those are both great closing statements. And Melissa, I'm so glad you brought up the future of the book, because the book has a big future. And as you said, Beth, and it all just kind of moves us forward. So we might need to have you back sometime so we can talk about the future of books now that we talked a little bit about the history of them.
We would love to come back. Thank you.
We sure would.
Excellent. Well, thank you both. And hopefully we will see you at your big opening and then probably again at STEMFest.
Hooray.
Definitely.
We'll be there. Great to see you both, and thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This has been a production of the STEAM Studio. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a review to help others discover our shows. You can listen on platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to this STEAM Spotlight. Thank you to our partners, NIU STEAM and Northern Illinois University, for supporting this podcast. If you would like to learn more about the work we do, please check us out online at niusteam.niu.edu. Thank you so much for listening.